takes place between 9 a.m. and 10 a.m. Events occur.
FFPC Radio Live. That's right. That's 3 days in a row now. We are here and we are both on camera. Your eyes do not deceive you. Get used to it. Put some contacts in if you need to, or wear some shades to lessen the glow that is coming off your screen right now. One way or the other, we are here making an impact on the screen, and we're here to talk the first round of the NFL draft. So, without further ado, we're going to get right into it. No fancy introduction here. No DX video. I'm sorry, Mike. I'm not going to do that to you this time. But I am going to give you this.
La, la, la. Everybody, very much appreciated, my friend. Welcome to Friday morning, FPC Radio Live, closing out the week in style here. And I don't know about you, Ian, but I don't know. There's nothing really going on right now that we can talk about today. Nope. I don't know what we're going to do, how we're going to be able to fill the hour.
I'm going to complain for 51 minutes about the stupid inclusion of Roger Goodell's chair in the draft and everything to do with it.
Does anyone actually care about the chair?
No. I said yesterday on Twitter, I said it's like an inside joke that's not even funny. So, like, there's, like, two people. It seemed like Rich Eisen and Roger Goodell were the only two people in on this joke, and no one else got it. And at the end of the day, it wasn't even really funny to begin with. So, I thought it was stupid. I thought it was just, I hate...
Well, what was it? What is it about chairs, really? What is it about chairs that does this? A couple of years ago, going back a little bit now, Clint Eastwood at the Republican National Convention with the chair. I mean, really, I mean, what was that? I'm a huge Clint Eastwood guy, always have been. Dirty Harry movies, you know, by far. You know, the guy's a screen legend, but I had no idea what the hell he was doing.
And I
was just as confused last night with Goodell.
Yeah, I don't know. They I don't know. I don't have an explanation other than it was just it was stupid. I mean, obviously that was the chair that he sat in last year, and it's I don't know. I feel like it just missed the mark so bad, and no one cared. I thought it was stupid. I thought it was annoying, and it rubbed me the wrong way, because at the end of the day, it's like I remember last year where everyone's like, you know, this is at the beginning of the pandemic. People were, had no idea what was going to happen over the next several months. Some people were out of work. They had no clue when they were going to go back. Things were shutting down. And Roger Goodell was the everyman sitting in his massive main mansion in his big man cave and his big, like, probably $1,500 chair. I mean, let's not forget, that chair is probably worth more than a lot of things that I own. Including my car. And it was just, you know, he's the everyman, Mr. Roger Goodell. He's one of you. No, he's not. It's just this.
No, he's not.
It's this fake PR routine that they go through with Roger Goodell every single year. You know, go give the commissioner the hug. They made a big deal about making sure that he was able to give hugs. It's like, I don't give a bleep about hugs or chairs. Like, I don't even want him to talk other than to just say what team and what player is being picked at the moment. Other than that, I couldn't care less about anything that he has to say. And the lip service interview that he gave prior to the start of the draft was, I just happened to turn on NFL Network the moment that started, and I was like, click, I'll wait a couple more minutes until it actually starts. I didn't realize I was going to be waiting 45 minutes.
We had plenty of time before the draft started. I mean, you know, we didn't get pick one until almost after 8:30. I mean, it was, you know.
That was the other thing I said. I'm sitting here listening to these guys do the pregame show, and they're like, oh, the Jaguars can't wait to draft Trevor Lawrence. Well, then why the hell did they wait for 10 damn minutes for no reason? Like, clearly they were willing to wait even just a little bit longer to draft the kid. But yeah,
it's the mind games.
Yeah,
you know, it's like the doorman in Seinfeld. He's playing mind games with everybody.
Oh, what do you think? I'm a doorman. I just, you know, read the sports page.
That's true. Man. I mean, I felt like I felt like Rodney Dangerfield last night from Caddyshack. Let's go while we're young.
Yeah. Oh, God.
Really. I mean, that's, you know.
It was brutal. It was brutal. We didn't get the last, the Bucks picked shortly after midnight here on the East Coast. So it took from start to finish about 4 hours. And look, it was drawn out as much as you possibly could draw it out. And look, I mean, you understand why. It's the NFL. They want ratings. And I get it. You know, I'm not complaining about that. I'm more or less complaining about the presence of Roger Goodell. I don't know. Like I said, the whole chair stunt thing, because, you know, right off the bat, I made mention of it, not knowing that it was going to be apparently a big part of the whole presentation. You know, right. It said, oh, this is annoying. And then again, a couple minutes later, it was like, and everyone's going to get a chance to sit in the chair. I'm like, imagine how bad that chair stunk after 4 hours of, like, 45 different people sitting in that thing. Oh, my God. I'd throw that thing out. That wouldn't even make it back to my big main mansion on the coast. Oh, it drives me nuts. Drives me nuts. Anyway.
We need an ESPN 30 for 30 on the chair.
Yeah.
I think we do.
God, Jesus.
What if I told you this chair did not even belong to Roger Goodell?
He probably... That's right. It was stolen. It was totally fine. We come to find out years later it was part of this massive fight. Look, obviously that wasn't the big story. We had the first round of the draft, and you know, aside from that, it went. I was happy to finally get it over for a lot of reasons. Probably at the very top of the list. I mean, like more so, like even more on top of the list than the top is. We're not going to hear Jimmy Garoppolo to the Patriots anymore. Thank baby Jesus that is the case, because like I don't know if I could have gone another hour.
There's still a narrative to be had.
Of course, I mean, it becomes less realistic than it was to begin with. So I can ignore it a little bit more, but this obsession with Jimmy Garoppolo should just be over. It should be over. It should be over. It might not be, like you said, it might not be, but it should be over, because obviously the Patriots went with the guy that you've been preaching about for weeks now, and that's Mac Jones. And look, look, if you're a Patriots fan, you have to be happy. If you're not happy, it's because you had some unrealistic expectations. Maybe you had, for 45 minutes there, unrealistic expectations of Aaron Rodgers becoming the Patriots quarterback yesterday. That was quickly dashed. But the reality of it is, and we said this last week, we've said it this week, the Patriots' best option always was to roll with Cam and draft a quarterback. And that's exactly what they did. And people out there acting shocked are, you know, you should have seen this coming. I mean, people sit there and say, oh, it's a mystery. It's like, we're sitting there, and this was part of your reason, too, outside of, you know, the physical traits that, you know, obviously Mac Jones does display and can obviously grow on. But I mean, it was clear as day, the Alabama-New England connection. Nick Saban, right. Bill Belichick. I mean, it was there, staring you in the face the whole time. They obviously watched how this draft played out, realized pretty early on that, yeah, you know what? We're going to have our pick of probably two quarterbacks. And the way it's going right now is it's likely going to be Mac Jones being one of them. So, and that's exactly what happens. That's exactly what happened. So the Patriots didn't have to give up Stephon Gilmore and the 15th pick to go get Jimmy Garoppolo. they were able to stay exactly where they were and draft a first-round quarterback. Now, again, you and I, we don't know. We don't know what's going to happen with him. We don't know how he's going to develop. We don't know how good or how bad or where he lands in the quarterback spectrum of bust or non-bust. We don't know. And if we did, it would be great because we'd be fortune tellers and we could make a whole lot of money and doing other things than talking about sports. But the point is they drafted a quarterback. And it's not shocking. It was the right move. And for those out there that are expecting Mac Jones to start on day one, well, prepare to be disappointed again because he's not going to. You know, the Patriots, Bill Belichick, they're not going to give in to this media peer pressure. Oh, the young kid comes in. He has to. No. I mean, the NFL has shifted towards that, and I think it does more harm than good. Of course, you're going to get quarterbacks that come in and pick up the system pretty early. You're also going to get instances of the quarterback coming in and capitalizing on a year in which there's not a lot of film on you in the pros, and you have enough talent to take advantage of that. But then it gives you and fans and sometimes coaches unrealistic expectations as to what your abilities are. So all of a sudden, you know, in year two, you're looked at as a elite quarterback who deserves an extension. Well, maybe you just capitalized on likely the easiest season you're going to have. Let's see what happens year two, year three, year four. I bet you Philadelphia wishes they did that. So in this case, Bill Belichick's not going to start the kid just because he drafted him in the first round. Like, right. He said it yesterday. It's an obvious question that people are going to ask. And look, this is going to be dreadfully annoying by the time the season actually starts, because this question is going to be asked 26 different times to Bill Belichick. And eventually you're going to get the scoff and eye roll answer out of him. And it is Cam Newton your starting quarterback? Yes, he is. Nothing that happened yesterday changed what is going to happen in week one. And that is, barring a injury or, I mean, out of this world play from Mac Jones in the preseason and training camp, Cam Newton's your starting quarterback, and he's likely going to be that the entire season, ups and downs included. Because Bill Belichick's smart enough to know that, you know, rushing a quarterback to appease the fans or appease the media doesn't do you any good. And he doesn't care what the media thinks. I mean, I like I said, I wish I was a fly on the wall in his draft. I don't even want to call it a room. It was just kind of like a get together, like closet, you know, compared to the biggest state out there in LA. I'd love to be a fly on the wall in that room, listening to them discuss some of these narratives that are being thrown about just so willingly leading up to this draft, and their reaction, just sitting there saying like, do these people not learn anything? 20 years of doing this. Have you not learned anything?
No, they don't. And I can tell you, last night it already started. Bill Belichick addressed the media shortly after midnight. First question, who's the quarterback? Who's going to start day one? Cam's our quarterback. They asked him again toward the end of the press conference. Well, clarify your statement on Cam's our quarterback. I don't know why that statement needed clarification, but I guess it did. And they asked Bill Belichick once again, does that mean that he's going to start day one? Does that mean he's guaranteed to start, meaning Cam Newton? And if so, how long? Bill Belichick basically looked at everyone and said, you know what? Someone's going to have to outplay him in order for him to lose his job. And that's exactly the way it should be. If he is outplayed by Mac, or, you know, I don't know what's going to happen now with Jarrett Stidham. That's going to be an interesting, argument. I guess an argument for another day. But right now, it looks like Cam is going to be the starter. And really, there really is no other decision than that's exactly how it should be. Mac Jones coming in to New England is a great fit for the New England Patriots. I know a lot of the fan base finds this polarizing. I heard a lot of vitriol being thrown at Mac last night. Look, he's not the guy that's going to give you the flashy highlights. He's not going to make a living going outside the pocket, extending plays with his legs. He's not going to give you those highlight reel type of moments that a lot of the fans really want. And I think you're seeing the difference between fandom and actually looking at the bare bones of what needs to happen with this team. Look, there are knocks on Mac. There's no question about it. He's got limitations outside the pocket, but he has tremendous field awareness. I mentioned this yesterday here on FBC Radio Live. When you start hearing guys like Michael Lombardi, like Charlie Weiss, like Dante Scarnecchia, really going above and beyond to talk about how great this kid is when determining pre-snap reads, reading the playbook, understanding it, and putting it into action, that has to count for something. That's so important here in New England. You need an understanding of the offense. And not for anything, but I mean, take a look at his footage from Pro Day. Take a look at his footage from the Senior Bowl. Mac's shown more athleticism than he gives himself credit for. He's not a dynamic athlete. I'm not going to sit here and say that he's the greatest athlete in the world, but what he can do is he can maneuver around, step up in the pocket, deliver a strike when he feels the heat, and he can do it on time and he can do it accurately.
I just want to chime in and say, call me old fashioned, but to me, that's far more important than athleticism. This Absolutely. Infatuation with the athletic quarterback and how it's taken over the league. I mean, we've been hearing that for 20 years. Now, there is more of a spot for that in today's NFL. I'm not going to sit there and deny, but this whole idea that the drop back, more stationary quarterback is a thing of the past is just absurd because, again, people are focusing on all the wrong things. We, you know, a little self-plug, we had former Giants GM Ernie Accorsi on one of our shows, the Eye Test for Two, recently. And he was asked, you know, when you evaluate quarterbacks, and this is a guy who drafted John Elway and eventually traded him, but, you know, that's maybe not because of his want. You know, obviously bringing in Eli Manning, the most important thing to him when evaluating a quarterback is simple. It's accuracy. Forget about athleticism. You don't need athleticism, traditional or modern, I guess, athleticism. Because, again, people sit here and claim that Tom Brady's not an athlete, and I say hogwash on that. You know, he is an athlete, obviously. but this idea that they no longer are a luxury in the NFL is wrong. Now, again, you have to be a good decision maker. You have to, you know, have these abilities to succeed as a drop back quarterback. But again, I just it's amazing to me that people are so quick to just say, oh, no, this is the thing of the past, even though, well, as far as I know, someone mentioned last night, like talking about, you know, the last 10 Super Bowl winning quarterbacks. I'm sitting here thinking to myself, I'm like, that's like half Tom Brady. The last 10, the four of them's Tom, you know?
It's true.
Like, what quarterback has dominated the league? Now, before you say anything, no, Patrick Mahomes has not taken over the league yet. I know people disagree with me on that, but, you know, talk to me when he's winning 4 and 5 Super Bowls in a short period of time, and then maybe we can sit there and say, oh, okay, maybe he has taken over the league. No, right now it's still Tom Brady's league. It's still, you know, the drop back quarterback, because guess what? With all that athleticism, what did that get them? 9 points in the Super Bowl. So maybe that's not the perfect, perfectly fair comparison, but you get what I'm saying. This infatuation with the athleticism, it's definitely an advantage for some. It's certainly not a need. And we've seen that. We've seen drop back quarterbacks still succeed in this league, and there's certainly plenty of opportunity for them to do so.
Right. Absolutely. Very well said. And look, bottom line, I understand where some of the fan base is coming from with Mac. He's not going to be the exciting type of highlight reel quarterback that maybe the fan base was hoping for. You know, he's got arm strength limitations. Right now, I would say his arm strength is average. I think he's better than most people give him credit for. He does have the arm strength to get the ball down the field, and we've seen him do that several times at Alabama. So this is not a guy with a noodle for an arm. I saw that a couple of times floating around last night, and I think that's asinine. Look, bottom line, the New England Patriots realized that Mac Jones was a great fit because he checks a lot of their boxes. What do you need to succeed in a New England Patriots uniform, in a system? You need to be able to win pre-snap reads. Mm-hmm. Mac can do that. We've seen him do it in Alabama. He needs to be able to make anticipatory throws, throw guys open. This is someone that absolutely can do that. He had a lot of weapons around him at Alabama. I understand that. Mm-hmm. But look at what he's going to in the pros. He's not going to have also-rans out there, not sure where to go. He's got talented professional athletes that know their place, that know where to go, and guys that can make plays for him. He's got a two tight end set that really I think is going to be a very big asset for him, not so much this year, but I think in year two, year three, when he starts to come into his own. Adding some wide receivers is going to be a smart move. I look for the Patriots to be active day two in the wide receiver market. Mm-hmm. But bottom line, he demonstrates the ability to get the ball out on time. We saw the Pats struggle with that last year. And I'm not knocking Cam on that, because I think that there were a lot of extenuating circumstances that prevented Cam from shedding the ball as quickly as he could, as quickly as I believe he will this year. But Mac Jones can do it on a dime, and we've seen Tom Brady do that so often here in New England. So if that's what it takes to succeed in New England, Mac checks all those boxes. The Patriots are going to surround him with the team that he needs to be able to do it. I've said several times, Mac needs three things, three P's to succeed. And I do steal this from Jordan Reed of thedraftnetwork.com. I can't take complete credit for this, but he needs protection. He needs playmakers, and he needs a play caller. He's got all those in New England. Mm-hmm. This is a good fit for the New England Patriots this year and beyond.
Yeah, and just because we're mentioning him in the same breath as Tom Brady doesn't mean he's going to be Tom Brady. Because, again,
he's not Tom, folks.
Tom takes good everything point. That you laid out and takes it to the very limit and beyond. And that's why he's great. So people sit there, oh, so he's just Tom Brady. Tom Brady's just got. No, I mean, it's what we're saying sounds simple, and the philosophy behind, you know, playing quarterback sounds simple, but it's not. I mean, obviously, make good decisions, throw the ball accurately. You know, it, again, for me personally, maybe people will call me old fashioned, but I think raw athleticism is, in my opinion, close to the bottom of the list when you sit there and talk about what a quarterback needs to succeed. So in that sense, you're right. Mac Jones does check a lot of boxes. Now, what he does with the opportunity, how he grows, you know, remains to be seen. But, you know, at the end of the day, you know, the Patriots got a quarterback. They didn't have to give up their, you know, their best corner back and a draft pick to go get, and also ran Jimmy G, who's going to be 30 in a few months. No, they went out, made the right pick. He was the guy who fell. They didn't have to give up assets to move up. And you know what? We're going to see him develop. Now, again, like I said before, when we started talking about this, he's not going to start day one. I mean, I'd be shocked. I'd be surprised if he was the starter week one for the Patriots. I'd be surprised if he got any sort of significant playing time in general next year, because I think, you know, and rightfully so, I think the Patriots are rolling with Cam. Now, that doesn't mean that at some point maybe that changes. Maybe Cam, you know, I expect him to play better this year based on, like you mentioned before, some of the extenuating circumstances aren't going to be there for Cam this year. Right. So those excuses aren't valid. So if he can succeed, you know, in this better environment, then, you know, Mac Jones isn't going to see the field. And that's fine.
Right.
I'm perfectly fine with that. I mean, I personally think that, you know, a lot of quarterbacks benefit from taking some time to learn and grow without having the pressures of being on the field. And unfortunately, in this league, coaches, GMs, quarterbacks, they have such a short leash. Everyone wants instant gratification. And that leads to some very quick decisions and some poor decisions, because quarterbacks, look, you can ruin them early on in their career if you manage them the wrong way. And I have no doubt in my mind that the Patriots are going to handle this situation the right way. So I was happy with the move, more so happy that we don't ever have to hear about Jimmy G again, or at least in any sort of exhausting manner. Because, you know, like you said, I'm sure it's still going to be out there. Oh, well, they can still trade for... No, they're not trading for Jimmy Garoppolo today. They're not doing it tomorrow. They're not doing it in 3 weeks. It's not going to happen. Give it up, folks. Give it up.
Well, I mean, from a San Francisco standpoint, just to stay on Jimmy before we complete this, from a San Francisco standpoint, why would you want to trade him right now? I mean, you got Trey Lance coming in. Obviously, Lance is going to be the guy, but if you're looking at Jimmy right now, it's going to be difficult for them to rework that contract for anybody to take it on. The only team right now that could do it without any hesitation is Jacksonville. They got quarterback issues of their own. They got Gardner Minshew probably to unload. So they've got their own stuff that they need to do. When it comes to Jimmy being a mentor or someone that can help Trey learn for a year, I think it could be something beneficial. Everybody looks at Justin Herbert last year, but the plan wasn't for Justin Herbert for the Los Angeles Chargers to go right into the fire. He proved he could do it. Herbert's one of the better quarterbacks in the league, and I love what he's done in Los Angeles. But that wasn't the plan. The plan was to have him sit behind a guy like Tyrod Taylor for a year, learn the ropes, and then be able to take the reins. If I'm San Francisco, I'm rolling it right now. They can do it. They can operate the system. They can operate the season with Jimmy's contract the way it is, as is right now. Give it a season to try to maybe work something out, make him more tradable next year. I don't think Garoppolo's going anywhere.
Got to unmute my mic. And no, and that's a great example of Justin Herbert. Now, Justin Herbert was forced into this situation not by choice. Obviously, the injury precipitated the move to put him under center. They didn't just say, oh, we drafted this guy, we're going to throw him into the fire. He had a great rookie season. What happens this year? What if he regresses? I mean, he doesn't have the luxury of learning and evolving on the practice field and in training camp. You know, he's the guy, and now these expectations, you know, he just set these rookie passing records. Now the expectations are sky high for a kid who had none last year. Not every quarterback can handle that. I'm not saying he can or cannot. I'm just saying this is something to watch because, you know, Los Angeles, by all means, you know, it seems like they're in a good position with him under center. and hopefully for a long time, because you look at him, you're like, wow, you know, that guy can sling the ball, and he, you know, he seems to have everything that you think would lead to a very successful career. But if he gets off to a slow start this year, you know, how does he handle that mentally? And there's no going back. Like, you don't go back to Tyrod. Obviously, Tyrod Taylor's not there, but you know what I'm saying. You don't go back
right
to the veteran quarterback and say, I mean, I can't think of really any situation where that's happened in the past where, you know, you bench a veteran, you go to the rookie. The rookie plays right poorly after a long stretch of playing very well, and then eventually you go back. It just doesn't work that way. Once you go to the rookie, you've gone to the rookie. The only time I think right I've ever seen that happen is like Brock Osweiler, where it's like they went to him and then they went to someone else and they went back to him. And there's clearly why Denver's in the situation yep that they're in. But
by the way, cheap plug for the Locked On Podcast Network, folks. My good friend Cody Rourke, host of Locked On Broncos, has a Brock Osweiler meme throwing out there right now. Definitely check nice it out. It's hilarious. It really is.
I'm gonna have to, because it's been a good minute since we've gotten some good Brock Osweiler talking on the airwaves. Yeah, this here.
I don't want to ruin it for anybody. No. If you've seen it, you know, but if you haven't, definitely check it out.
But yeah, so to me, you don't want to rush these things, Patriots fans. You gotta be patient, you know, and realize that, hey, guess what? Bill Belichick probably knows a lot more. Actually, no, I'm very confident in saying Bill Belichick knows a lot more about any of this than any of us. And I have no problem admitting that. And you know, this again, I think people are confusing, they've got it in their mind that he's a poor drafter. And we went over this yesterday, relative to who. And then that's when you start thinking, well, wait a minute. I mean, think about some of these drafts. I mean, here's a great example. The Las Vegas Raiders. What's more synonymous with the Las Vegas Raiders than making a pick and getting complete silence from the crowd because they have no idea where they were going? I mean, it happens every single year. I mean, every single year we're talking about a team that this and quote unquote reaches. And this isn't a indictment on the player. This is just the perception of the player going into the draft. We all know that perception isn't always reality. So right, but every year the Raiders go out there. They've had high draft picks. We're not talking about a team drafting at the end of the draft here. We're talking about a team that always has like top 10, top 15 picks, something right that the Patriots have never consistently had. And they go out every single year and make this reach of a pick that people are like, wait a minute, this guy would have been available like 40 picks from now. Like, I get it. Like, he could be a really good player, but what did you skip over to take him far too early? And every year we get this from the Raiders. So, you know, is Bill Belichick a bad drafter relative to Mike Mayock and John Gruden? Well, no. I would take Bill Belichick 1,000 times out of 1,000, you know, in that situation. So who is he bad? Would. Yeah, exactly. So
yeah,
who is he, you know, how his quote-unquote failures are so ridiculously overblown and overstated and overvalued by the people wanting to continue to bring it up that it just I laugh. So at the end of the day,
yeah,
trust what the coaching staff is doing, trust what they've seen, trust that, you know, hey, they know a thing or two about building a team, and a knee-jerk reaction and going out and restarting with another veteran quarterback and then or too quickly putting in their rookie quarterback isn't going to happen under the Bill Belichick right watch. So
no, it's not. And look, you know, no one's knocking Alex Leatherwood, who was the pick by the Las Vegas Raiders last
year. Great name.
Look,
I love Alex
has a chance to be a solid bro. Yeah, he does have a great name. It really, really does. But, you know, I think he has a chance to be a solid pro. I mean, he's got the size and the athleticism to be able to succeed in that role. No one's saying that he won't. But when you look at what the Raiders needed, their needs as opposed to the talent that was on the board at the time, Leatherwood was someone that could have been projected even into a day two pick. So it's a little bit against the grain. It's a little, you know, eye opening, but I guess they had a beat on the guy, and this is the person they wanted to go with. So we'll see. We'll see what happens. But I agree with you. You start to look at some of the picks that were made. I didn't see a whole lot of picks that really, like, you know, shocked me last night. That was one of them. Green Bay going with Stokes, you got to wonder what thought process
I
needed some help.
I like the move.
Well, Stokes is a good player. Yeah. I mean, I think, you know, but you know, it's if they're serious about wanting to try to salvage things with Aaron Rodgers, which again, I don't think is really possible at this point, but if they were serious, I don't know what type of message that pick sends. My favorite pick of the night was Rashawn Slater by the Los Angeles Chargers. Just basically fell right into his lap. I think Slater has a chance to be the best offensive lineman in this draft. I was absolutely salivating over this guy for the Patriots. If they chose to go offensive line, as much as I love Christian Darrisaw, who's going to be great in Minnesota, they really, the Los Angeles Chargers get the best offensive lineman in the draft in Rashawn Slater, in my opinion. That was one of my favorite picks last night.
And that's a position we know that's far more predictable when it comes to, succeeding right away. I mean, someone said, you know, who was it that went? I'm trying to pull it up right now. I'm completely blanking on it right now. But Sewell to the Lions,
yep.
Surefire Hall of Famer. And again, obviously that surefire Hall of Famer stuff was far too overstated all the time. I mean, this whole future Hall of Famer thing in general. But that's a discussion for another day. But these there's far less risk in projecting with these offensive linemen. That's essentially what I'm getting at. So, I love that move. I like I said, going back to Green Bay real quick, and this is the problem, and this is the issue that I had, and I continue to laugh at, is like, you know, I don't understand, like, Aaron Rodgers apologist out there, and I don't mean to pile on him, but Aaron Rodgers apologist have been lost, completely lost without Mike McCarthy. He was always the scapegoat. Oh, it's Mike McCarthy's fault. Mike McCarthy caused Aaron Rodgers not to score enough points after getting 5 turnovers against Seattle. It was Mike McCarthy's fault for everything. I mean, the rain, the drought, excess snow in Wisconsin, everything was Mike McCarthy's fault. Well, Mike McCarthy's not there anymore, so how do they blame, who do they blame, or what do they blame for the failures or the underachievement of this Packers team? And unpredictably, it's been kind of a mixed bag of bouncing from one thing to another, and it kind of leads me to the reaction to this pick. And we saw it so much, not just from fans, Mike, not just from fans, but from like actual analysts and people sitting out there like saying, oh my God, the Packers are doing the Aaron Rodgers wrong, and what is this, how are you supposed to do that, blah 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 blah. No, it was the right pick. It was the right pick. I mean, how much help do you need on offense? I mean, people, all-pro wide receiver, one of the top five running back, all-pro left tackle. I mean, there's talent on this team. Let's not pretend like he's dealing with, like, I mean, undrafted, barely can make an NFL roster players. I mean, there are a lot of good players on offense. They needed to get better defensively. And they weren't terrible defensively either. Although people want to make you think that they were this terrible, terrible defense, they weren't. I mean, were they as good as maybe their points per game ranking says they were? Maybe not. You know, we all know that points per game can be incredibly misleading, especially when you have an elite offense like they do have. But the problem is, like, you know, when are you just going to sit here and say, like, I mean, I heard someone say, oh, we need to get them more turnovers, or him more turnovers, and I'm like, look, I don't think this defense is 3 interceptions against Tom Brady good. But that doesn't change the fact that they did get 3 interceptions in the NFC Championship game. So how many more turnovers do you need? And this isn't just a one-game thing. I already mentioned 2014. I mean, the Seahawks got 5 turn or turned the ball over 5 times, 4 interceptions. The Packers got 16 points. But all anyone remembers is the muffed onside kick at the end of the game. And that's what they blame it on. And the whole this whole idea that the offense didn't deliver when they were supposed to, those are 2 opportunities right there you can directly point to that would have led to another Super Bowl berth. All of a sudden, now this whole narrative, oh, Rodgers has only been to 1 Super Bowl, how can the Packers have done him so wrong? No, all of a sudden, he would have gone to 3. And it was perfectly within his grasp to elevate this team to do that. Now, again, this doesn't mean I'm throwing all the blame on Rodgers. This is more of a indictment of this contradictory narrative that surrounds him, and that, oh, he's been the most he's been the most wasted talent in NFL history, and I just don't believe that. I think it's lazy, and it avoids, you know, criticizing him, which, yeah, guess what? He deserves some of it for their failures. Bottom line, you can't sit there and absolve him of all these things, because what it sounds like is he apparently is the quarterback that needs to be held up the most. And if you're going to sit here and try to claim that he's one of the best of all time or the best of all time, but yet he needs to be propped up as much as he apparently needs to be in your eyes, there's a disconnect there, Mike. And that drove me crazy yesterday. And people, and I commented on it and got some reaction, but it drives me nuts, man. It drives me nuts.
That's a good point, and that is a good point. And when back to your original point and kind of what started this about the pick of Stokes, look, no one's definitely arguing mm-hmm. that Stokes can be a solid contributor in this defense, and I think that's something that, again, like you said, they need. Green Bay does need some help on defense as well, and they're trying to build a complete team. If they know that Aaron has played his last game in Green Bay, they're not going to be looking to appease him. So I think that's a good point. And, look, we'll see where everything goes. There was a period last night where everyone was sure he was going to Denver. Yeah. And then all of a sudden that fell apart very quickly. Who knows? That could still be in play, folks. I know a lot of people are looking at it now and saying, Denver has said they're out of it. Green Bay has said they're not training him. I don't believe either side. Denver did not go for a quarterback last night. Mm-hmm. Obviously, they're bolstering their, cornerback market. Patrick Surtain, I think, is the best corner on the market, really. I mean, I guess J.C. Horn is a very close second. I liked Horn a lot as a possibility for the Pats at number 15 if they chose not to go in the quarterback realm. Yeah. But I think Surtain is a surefire number one corner. They have a stacked secondary, maybe the best secondary in the NFL right now on paper. So we'll see. We'll see what happens in Denver. It's going to be interesting times to find out if they can pry him loose or if any other team enters the Aaron Rodgers sweepstakes. There's still a lot to think about there.
I know one person that's not a Packers fan that so wants that not to happen, and that's our friend John Sapicetti, because if Aaron Rodgers gets traded to Denver, then that will eliminate all hopes that he has of a future. Although I believe at this point it's very
kill the dream.
Yeah. The dream's pretty slim right now. It's on par with the dream of me still making the NHL at pushing 35 and having not played hockey in years. So that's the level of dream that it is right now. But again, he gets traded to Denver. It's no question. And I almost want it to happen only for this, Mike. And it's clearly not an I would say it's not a legitimate argument, but I think it's a juicy one for the Brady versus Rodgers fodder, and that is if after only 1 year in the NFC, Aaron Rodgers couldn't handle Tom Brady enough that he bolted today. I love that narrative. I love it because I know it's such a BS thing to say, but it would just jab in the sides of everyone in that argument. And it has more legitimacy than some of their arguments pro Rodgers. So, hey, why not? So for me, I want that to happen just for that, just to go see him do. But look, I mean, Denver, maybe they would be a good option. I mean, they got some young talent around them. But the problem is, and it goes back to how we started this conversation. Like, Denver has talent. Not as much as Green Bay. What right. team is a better situation for him? And that's when you have to sit back and say, well, you know what? You know, this Packers team, they got rid of their Super Bowl head coach because of him. Okay? They went out and found another coach. They went out and did all this. I mean, like I said, they have Devontae Adams, and people keep bringing up, oh, well, he's only thrown one touchdown pass to one first-round receiver. I'm like, I don't give a You know what I mean? Like, Devontae, just go down the list of guys that he's had. I mean, just because they were picked two picks outside of the first round or whatever it was, doesn't, you know what I mean? It's not this, like, huge handicap that people want you to make it seem like for him. So the reality of it is, I don't see another situation out there that is better for him. They have a good defense. Does it need to get better? Sure, of course. Every team, every year needs to get better. That's just how football works. You know, you can't stay stagnant. You always have to be improving. So that's not unique to the Packers. There's a lot of teams out there that need to get better. But in some weird way, a lot of people think that this is the only team that no blame should ever be put on the quarterback. Because, again, I don't see it. And this isn't hyperbole in my eyes. I mean, the reaction, the overall reaction. How many times do we hear, oh, if only Aaron Rodgers had the defense like Tom Brady has? Well, I mean, look, the reality of it is the difference in points per game between Tom Brady's defenses over his career and Aaron Rodgers' defenses is smaller than the gap in Super Bowls between Tom Brady right. and Aaron Rodgers. So save me, oh, he needs this defense. Well, guess what? When they actually go out and get defensive help, then it's, oh, how could you do Aaron Rodgers so wrong? It's like, wait a minute. Wait a minute. We've heard for 6 months now that Kevin King was the sole reason why the Packers lost that game. It wasn't, you know, the inability of the Packers offense to capitalize on opportunities. It was one instance of Kevin King playing poor defense, and that was the whole reason why. So what do the Packers do? Well, they go out and they draft defensive back help. And what's the reaction? Not enough help for Aaron Rodgers. Why are you handicapping him so much? He's never thrown to a number one wide receiver, even though Devontae Adams is an all-pro, and we're not going to mention that. We're going to forget about all the other players that he had to his disposal throughout his career. Now, so to me, you gotta start looking at it just more realistic, more objectively, folks, all right?
Right.
Guess what? Aaron Rodgers is human. He's not perfect, okay? Tom Brady's not perfect. Never claimed he was. He's close, but not quite perfect. You know, he's like 18-1 perfect.
Had to drop that in, didn't you?
Yeah, 18-1 perfect.
Had to drop that in.
Yeah. But no, the point is like, I mean, you want to apologize for him. And here's my biggest thing. If people weren't so needing to call him the greatest quarterback of all time, or, you know, the most, I've never seen someone with the most arm talent, this and this, that, and the other, most physically gifted. We know all the superlatives. We've heard them for years. If people weren't so needing to push that narrative, we probably wouldn't be having this conversation. I think we would put his career in a better perspective and be able to evaluate it more appropriately. But because of all that, we get these contradictory exclamations. I mean, literally every day it changes. And the only constant is he's never blamed for anything. You know what I mean? And one of the other things that bugged me was this quick, you know, lazy. So many people, oh, well, similarities between this and the Brady Garoppolo thing are striking. No, they're not. I mean, the only thing similar between the two situations is that it involves two quarterbacks of different ages. That's it. I mean, people want to sit here and say, oh, this is exactly what happened with Brady. No, it's exactly not what happened. Actually, Tom never went and publicly went out and said he wants to be traded away from New England. He actually went on to win more Super Bowls and forced the issue by his play. He took that challenge head on. He didn't try to run from it, as apparently, you know, it seems that Aaron Rodgers is with the drafting of Jordan Love. So all these comparisons being made are just not true. But people eat it up, and, you know, eventually it's going to become fact, and that's how people are going to talk about it. So I guess my little soapbox here was essentially just saying, I like the Packers pick. I thought it was the right pick. And I also think this is going to continue this is going to give people the fuel to say, oh, what could Aaron Rodgers do? You didn't draft him offensive help. And it's just like, I can't do it anymore, Mike. I can't. Like, just accept that he can fail and blame him for things that he's responsible for. And we can all, you know, move on and just appreciate what he can do, as opposed to, you know, having these silly conversations all the time. Necessary. Necessary.
Yeah. No, you're right. And basically what this pick does is it leaves the narrative open for Aaron to go elsewhere. And they'll come back to this. Well, you know, he was on the threshold of leaving, and the Packers had a chance to keep him in Green Bay, but they drafted a defensive back and they didn't give him the help that he needed. So it was time for a clean break. You can kind of see the handwriting on the wall, and that's probably what's going to happen here, folks. But again, you know, there's two sides to every story. Mm-hmm. So it'll be interesting. I'll be interested to see where Aaron ends up. I still wouldn't rule out him going back to Green Bay, folks. I know a lot of people think that ship has completely sailed. I wouldn't say it's likely. I'd say there's probably a 95% chance he moves on, but I mean, that 5% out there is still there. It's going to be whether or not Green Bay can find a willing partner, mm-hmm. whether or not Aaron's buy-in is going to be where it needs to be. A lot of factors out there, folks. It's not as simple as that. When that story broke and then all of a sudden you started hearing rumors that things were coming together very quickly, my first reaction to that was either, one, this has been in the works for quite some time and they put that out as a cover story just mm-hmm. to cover the eventual trade that was imminent, or there was a lot of smoke and mirrors and not a lot of fire to it. And I think you're seeing that it was the latter rather than the former.
Yeah, and look, I don't, I still eventually think he gets moved. I think we kind of felt that anyways moving forward. Former Packers president GM, Andrew Brandt, another guy, I'm doing another plug, another guest that we've had on the show. Nice. He had mentioned a couple weeks ago, he said, look, I think he's going to be the quarterback in 2021, and that's it. You know, he'll move on, and I happen to buy into that. I thought there was a small window of an opportunity for them to trade him yesterday. Once that passed, I didn't think he was going to get moved this year, and I think the Packers, regardless of how Aaron felt, were going to call his bluff, because really he doesn't have that much leverage. I mean, if he's serious about what he wants, he basically has to sit out a season. And I don't see him doing that at his age and losing. So again, the Packers are like, well, okay, you can be unhappy. Well, you still have to show up to work. And, right. You know, so this is going to play out to a conclusion here at the end of the season, and eventually Aaron Rodgers will likely be elsewhere. Where that is, you know, maybe it's Denver, maybe it's elsewhere. It's probably not going to be New England, but we'll see. We'll see what happens. So we got 5 minutes left, so that means we really can't start too much. I do want to mention something, though, my friend, yesterday that we didn't get to yesterday, and a very happy birthday I want to throw out to Mr. Jerry Seinfeld, that's right.
Wow.
67 years old. Oh my God. Good God. 67. I mean, that's.
Wow.
I mean, we're getting to the point now where he's like his parents' age in the show. You know, he's going to be down in Del Boca Vista, not
he's
visiting.
Ready to move down Florida. Jerry's moving into Del Boca Vista next week.
Yeah, there you go. but I saw that pop up.
Yesterday. All over that shuffleboard court.
I'm going
to
watch that.
I dare you to keep me out.
End up watching Seinfeld the rest of the day until the second round starts. But I saw it yesterday. And I was like, man, how did we miss that? I didn't check yesterday. I always check every day. Whose birthday's up? What's going on?
I'm blaming
everything on the draft. But we will be back next Monday, obviously breaking down, or this upcoming Monday, breaking down the rest of this draft. But rounds 2 and 3 are tonight, and then 4, 5, 6, and 7 tomorrow. So enjoy it. Hopefully the chair's gone. Hopefully it sends some fan bases into absolute chaos, because I'm here for the chaos. And enjoy the last couple rounds. So in the meantime, though, give us a follow on Twitter at FPC Radio Live, at Full Press Radio. I'm at IGLEN31. You can follow my man Mike over at MDABATEFPC. Have a great day. Have a great weekend. Have a safe weekend. Enjoy the rest of the draft. We will talk to you on Monday.